start of a new year, there's kind of that traditional view of let's make a resolution and see if we can make it through the month or the week or something like that. In some ways, we see New Year's as a new start, an opportunity to do something new, but I mean, Scripture tells us, you know, forget what's behind and press on to what's forward, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? To be sure, every day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. And so there is that new freshness, that fresh start perspective. But I want to change that a little bit today. I want to make sure we don't lose what we've done. Somewhat of a recap of where we've been this past year. What has God been teaching us, and where is He directing us, and where are we headed, that we might challenge ourselves in this new year? The past year, the past decade, God will use it. I propose to you that He is using it even now to strengthen us, to deepen our faith, and most importantly, to advance His kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's not that we're trying to build up the name of Amherst Baptist or the name of whatever. It's the name of Jesus Christ, the name of our Father God and His kingdom. Now, during this past year, some have faced tremendous loss and grief, and we need to mourn with those who mourn. It's not that we forget, and, oh, that's over now, we can move on. No, there are hurts that are lingering, and we need to be aware of and caring for those. Others have seen great victories and accomplishments, and we need to rejoice with them. That's not a fresh start from, oh, today's a new day. Well, it's built on what's come, whether it be grief or victory. God is moving us in a direction. Some of you have seen both grief and victory. And all of these things serve to mold us, to form us, to transform us into the image of Christ. And that all happens most effectively when we join Him in that. If you think of a young athlete, he wants to be a professional baseball player. And then he sits down on a stool and you say, well, are you going to go practice? Nah. You're going to watch the games? No. You're going to read about the games? No. Do you have anybody to coach you? Nah. But I'm going to be a professional baseball player. It just doesn't work that way. Nor does our becoming Christ's disciples and be followers of Christ. It doesn't just happen if we sit down and expect Him to do all the work. He works with us. He works in us. He calls us to come alongside Him. He tells us what we should do. His word is our instruction manual, as it were. But we can't just sit. And so I want to look at what He's brought us through this last year, where He's directing us forward, and what it is we might be doing, to become the disciples He's called us to do. So with regard to our church family, our times of teaching and study, we don't want to jettison all that and say, okay, we're starting new in January. What has God taught us over this past year? Let's take a moment to kind of a recap of 2021. Interestingly, we started 2021 in a series that was, the subtitle was A Path to Deeper Worship. And then we ended the year joyfully worshiping Messiah. This idea of worship, of putting God first, of recognizing His holiness, His greatness, His role in our lives as King, Master, that's been the whole focus through the year. It's had a few twists and turns in there that have different aspects, but it is all about putting God first. And so I want to encourage you, as we look through this past year, what has God taught you? Where has God challenged you? And how have you responded? Are you sitting on the stool waiting for Him to make changes, or have you joined Him in what He's called you to? So, are you more definitively focused on worship as we begin 2022? What decisions would you have to make? I trust there's been some movement in that direction. So we started last January with a call to worship in spirit and truth, this path to deeper worship. We're not going through the motions. We're not putting on a show for other people. But in fact, from Psalm 63, we heard David say, "My soul thirsts for you." Has your soul been thirsting for God's work in your life? Or do you just check in on Sunday morning? And I don't want it to sound like I'm being real critical. It's just self-evaluation. We're starting a new year. How do I start it? I look back. What have I learned? Where have I not kept up with what God's called me to? And what can I do to do it differently and presumably better to be the man and the disciple that God has called us to? My soul thirsts for you. So that brief study led us to February, where we looked into a challenge that by the mercies of God, we would present ourselves as living sacrifices. It came out of Romans 12. And through those weeks of that look, we found that our presenting ourselves comes by way of obedience and by way of co-laboring and of loving one another without hypocrisy and, in fact, even loving our enemies. Wow, I'm supposed to do that? Yeah, don't be sitting on the stool. Be loving one another, be loving our enemies, be obedient to what God's called us to do, and work with others to advance his kingdom. That's the path to deeper worship. We can't do any of these things in our own strength. In the same way, during my prayer, I know I mentioned that if God hadn't called us, we wouldn't be pursuing him. If God wasn't working with us, we wouldn't be able to. And so we need to acknowledge his place as king. We have to be consistent, not on again, off again, starts and stops, but diligent and purposeful in following Jesus. So that took us to March through June, and we were in the book of Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, with the overall theme of staying focused on God our Savior and eternal life. Do you see the theme that God has brought us through? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Not allowing ourselves to be distracted and to live as models for others. And to do all of that in unity as a body. So God is calling us to worship him as a body, individually, pursuing him with passion. Shouldn't be new to us. That's what he's always been calling us to. But this past year, he's made that clear in the messages that we've shared. The summer then found us considering the example that God sets for us. We talked about the father's cry, the father's heart, excuse me, and the servant's cry. I want to be like God. I want to do what he does. Well, what does that look like? It's the father's heart for comfort for his children, even in the face of trials. As I mentioned, some of us have lost this year. We've had great grief this year. God, our Father, desires to comfort us, and he calls us to comfort one another. God has a heart for restoration. He doesn't look to punish because he wants to do damage. He disciplines to restore. Is that your heart in your relationship with others? Sometimes I have to speak harshly. Sometimes I have to speak clearly and definitively to people, but it's because I want them to be restored to God, first of all, but also in our relationships. Can't just let things lie. Sometimes they have to be addressed. That's God's heart for restoration. We saw his promise of protection, provision, and his presence, all from Psalm 23. The song we often sing, The Goodness of God, has this line. It says, your goodness is running after me. This is sounds kind of strange when God is running after, his goodness is running after me. It's from Psalm 23. The last couple verses there say, surely goodness and your unfailing love, your faithful love, your chesed, is pursuing me. It's running after me. All my life you've been faithful and you're running after me, you're pursuing me. That is to be our heart as well, pursuing him, pursuing others, restoration. God's heart is that he loves his people. Including, not that they would just get by, but that we would have joy so that we could joyfully worship our Messiah. God is at work in us. Do you understand that? Do you recognize it? Do you see it in your life, the work that God is doing? And lastly, we talked about in this section God's concern for the underclass, those who aren't cared for by others. That's our job, representing our Father's heart, to care for the underclass, a concern that we are to share and respond to in our own behavior and our activity, to care for those who are left out. This may or may not be related to racial or ethnicity, or it might just be someone who gets bullied and they need someone to stand up for them. The underclass. Now, in the midst of all that during the summer, while we're talking about the Father's heart, we had Jason Beeden. He shared a couple messages from the Sermon on the Mount, from the Beatitudes in particular. And again, we're challenged to be poor in spirit, to be gentle, and to be hungering after righteousness. So the fall then took us into a new study. We looked into Paul's example, along with his companions, of how they did discipleship among the Thessalonians. We've come to come alongside one another in relationship to encourage, establish, and exhort one another in love. Not just telling people what they ought to do, but in love, helping them along, to encourage them, to exhort them, to give them instruction, to establish them, to make sure they know what is true, what is right, what is good, what is holy, so that they can set their feet on solid ground and pursue God. Then as we came into November, we were challenged by the example of Joshua to consider all that God has done before and then respond accordingly. I don't think I've said it recently, but I know I've said it in the past, that's kind of my definition of worship, to see God as he really is and then see ourselves in relationship to him and know that there's only one right response to worship. And so Joshua, as they were entering into the promised land, is, look at what all God has done. He delivered us from Egypt. We crossed the Red Sea. He's given us the law. He's protected us through 40 years in the wilderness where our clothes didn't rot and our shoes didn't fall apart. And we had food and we had meat and we had everything we needed because God is faithful. Will he not continue to be? This is the God that we worship. That was all kind of captured in this idea of the fear of the Lord. When we properly see who he is, we will have reverence for him. True reverence for his word, true reverence for God, and in our reverence of him, we find grace. His forgiveness, his mercy, his fatherly love to our childlike faith. We don't come to God and say, hey, you owe me. I'm doing everything right. You should. No, it's none of that. In his holiness, we come humbly, bow before him, and ask for his grace, which he freely gives, forgiveness and restoration. And, of course, we ended the year with this consideration of all that God has done for us as we looked back at Abraham, Moses, David, and last week, Daniel. We found that his promises are sure. What he promised to Abraham, he's carrying out. What he promised to David, he's carrying out. What he promised to Moses, he's carrying out. What he showed Daniel is going to happen, he then showed John that it does. Worthy. Only one is worthy to open the scroll. All of these things we looked at so that we could joyfully worship Messiah. The entire year has directed us toward perhaps a new focus, relationship on pursuing God first and foremost. Not as just part of our life, not as just this is what I do on Sundays. Every morning I get up and I read my Bible and then I close it and I go do what I want to do. Do we do that sometimes? Yeah, sometimes we do. We're just busy. God wants us to be in his grasp, focused on him, aware of him, day by day, moment by moment, always aware that we are his children, his representatives, his ambassadors to tell others about him, because he is building a kingdom and he invites all to it. All nations, all peoples, all languages should serve him. So we talked about Abraham and Moses and David and Daniel, and then we said from Hebrews 11, all of these died in faith, still awaiting promises, and we found that those promises are not yet fulfilled. Why? Because God has provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. So what is this something better? Well, we caught a glimpse just last week as we heard the pronouncements of this eternal kingdom from Revelation and from Daniel. There's a lamb standing as though slain, and he is the only one worthy to open the scroll. There is only one. I said earlier, God is God and there is no other. Jesus is Messiah and there is no other. There is no other God who has created and called us and has the power to draw us into his life eternally, everlastingly. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. They shall reign on the earth. we will reign on the earth. He has something special for us, something better for us. At the end of Daniel's dream, he talked to the angel that was standing by, and he said, what's all this mean? And the last statement the angel makes to him is, the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. That's a long time. That's what God has for us. And he's called us to be part of it, and he's called us to worship him in it. All of 2021 has been a call to deeper, joyful worship of the Ancient of Days, the Most High God, and Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Passover Lamb. It all comes together if we're paying attention. This worship is to be lived out and demonstrated in obedience, in sacrifice, in service, in love for one another as we encourage, establish, and exhort one another. While in unity, we love our enemies. We love and care for the underclass. By living out and demonstrating God's heart for restoration and reconciliation. While we rest in his provision, protection, his presence, and as we call others to do the same. We're living a life that is designed to bring glory to God. It is purposed. You were created to bring glory to God. And when we set that aside and that's not our priority, we're missing something. We're missing the joy that he desires for us. We don't do it, though, because, oh, I want to have joy, so I'm going to do it. No, it's what you were created for. God calls you to it. All this time, we're waiting expectantly for him to complete his something better for us, as he's promised, as he pronounced to Daniel and to John. So what's this all mean for 2022? Where are you in 2022? You're starting a new year. Perhaps you've scratched out some resolutions. Perhaps you've had conversations with folks and said, you know what, this past year, this happened, and I'd like to make it this way this year. Or perhaps it hasn't even crossed your mind that this is a new start. But it is. Every day is a new start. So do we set all this aside that we just learned last year? That can't be. That can't be what God would have us do. He's poured into us this information, this knowledge, this grasp of his call on our lives and his purposes. So what is it we're to do? Everything that we've discussed in 2021, unsurprisingly, could be summed up in what's called the greatest commandment. Matthew 22, 37 to 40, Jesus is challenged by a lawyer. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus answers him this way. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. All that God has laid out for us, if we would just get in our heads, I love God, I love others, and I'm going to live my life to demonstrate that, all the rest of it comes in. All the rest of it kind of flows. Now, I won't say it flows naturally. We struggle with it, but it's all part and parcel of loving God. This whole idea of worshiping, it's because we love him. And the more we love him, the more we worship him, and vice versa, it builds. Deep and joyful worship with all that it includes is how we must express and prove our love for God. It necessarily pours out into love for neighbors that they might come to know him and worship him as well. Our desire should not just be that, oh, we've made it. Whew. Dodge that bullet. I'm okay. No, it's everyone around us needs to know what we know, needs to be called into relationship with God. So we need to be diligent. We do not start anew. Everything we do must flow from what we have learned about worship, about who God is, about what God has done, and about what God is going to do, and how all of that is centered on Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the founder and perfecter of our faith who endured the cross and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If we had that in our view all day, how would it change how we speak? How would it change how we treat others? How would it change how we step in when there's someone being mistreated? I represent the God of the universe who loves this person. Does he want them to be treated that way? No. Do I have a role? Likely. Don't know what it is, and every circumstance might be different. And yet, we are called to serve him and represent him in those circumstances. This one who sits at the right hand of God, Jesus, he is the only Son. We're talking about the promises to Abraham. The only Son, given in alignment with God's eternal plan to bless all the nations. Talk about Moses. Jesus is the Passover lamb, sacrificed to deliver us from judgment and to reconcile us to God. Last week I saw I don't know if it was a tweet or a meme or whatever that said, you know, tell me what Christmas means in 4 words. God and sinners reconciled. That's what God's doing. He's reconciling people to himself. We look at David, the promised son of David, who will sit on an eternal throne. That's Jesus. From Daniel, he is the one like the Son of Man, to whom has been given a kingdom, dominion, kingdom. Excuse me, got it backwards again. He has been given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. That is Jesus, whom we serve. But we can't forget that he became flesh and dwelt among us. Eric's already mentioned to you, we're going to start next week in a study of the Gospel of John. We can't forget that he is also teacher, ruler, master, Lord. It's not someday, you know, in the sky by and by, he'll be our king. He is now, and he calls us to serve him. For instance, in the Gospel of John, as we look into that, we'll find in chapter 1 alone, he is the Word of God become flesh. He is the Creator. He is life. He is the light of men. He is recognized by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he's recognized by Nathanael as the Son of God. When we get to John 2, which might be months from now, I don't know. How long are you going to go? John 2, he's revealed as this miracle worker who he created everything, but he's not constrained by it. And he's also revealed to us as the one who is zealous for God's house. Why? Well, because he's the one who builds that house, not just the temple, not just the physical building, but the church. I will build my church, Jesus said. When we get to John chapter 3, we find that Jesus tells us himself, he tells us that we are to be born again. And that those who believe will have everlasting life. And we get to John chapter 4. We get back to the idea of worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And in chapter 5, Jesus speaks to someone who's struggling and says, do you want to be healed? Yes, yes. I want to be healed. I want to be who God wants me to be. I want to be made holy and righteous. So as we investigate more of who Jesus is, let's do so with our assignment in mind. Wait, what? We have an assignment? Yes. Yes, we do. After Jesus' ministry was complete, after he was crucified and buried and resurrected, he came to his disciples and he gave them, and by extension, he gave us an assignment. Read with me from Matthew 28. You might have this memorized. If you don't, it would be something you could. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. To be clear, who Jesus is should always be on our radar. We're to keep our eyes on him. He is the one with all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, it's reasonable that he is the one who gives us instructions. He's the one that makes our assignments, if you will. And he's also gracious that he does that in our presence, with us. He promises to be with us always to the end of the age. What happens at the end of the age? Then we're with him. We are now and forever connected to Jesus Christ as believers and followers. Do you walk in that awareness? Do you know that? Do you rejoice in that? This should be the heart cry as we begin a new year. So let's have faith in God's presence, Jesus' presence with us as we move into and through 2022. With his presence promised, we may think we just need to put our heads down and plow forward. But in this first message of the new year, I want to hesitate a moment and consider a big picture perspective. As we go, we are to make disciples. You've probably heard the Great Commission preached on, I don't know how many times, pieces of it, parts of it. It's go. Well, it's as you go. Let's take a step back and consider that if we are to go, and if we are to make disciples, and if we are to baptize in his name, and if we are to teach others, don't we first have to be those disciples? Is it not reasonable that we have to first be concerned about ourselves? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should be self-centered or self-absorbed, but there is a starting point that we have to have something to offer. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you don't go. So what is our heart as we start a new year to be the disciples Jesus has called us to do? What is God calling you to do to make a disciple of yourself? I'm going to suggest that there's a return to basics that we can talk about. Consider just a couple of the other promises that God has made. In Jeremiah, he says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So how diligent should I be about making myself a disciple? With all my heart. Because the promise is that when we do so, we will seek and find God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Just the first part of the verse is his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Oh, I can't do it. Were you listening? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." We have the promise of his presence, we have the promise of his power, and we have the call to be like Jesus. And so we set our hearts at the beginning of 2022 to be like Jesus, not in our own strength, but participating with what God is doing. What does it look like for you to be a disciple? How should you refocus this new year on what God has called you to be? It's easy to turn it into practical things. What does God want me to do? I'll just check off all the boxes. That's not the transformation he's looking for. He wants to change who we are. So what is it you're to be? Well, as part of this return to basics, there are some things for you to consider, things that you might do to align yourself. And again, don't get confused. This is not a checklist. If I do all these things right, then I'm being good. It's not about being good. It's about being who God has called us to be. And so I've got a few ideas about things that you might consider, things to put on your radar for this new year. Maybe it's a change from where you are. Maybe it's just a confirmation that you're doing the right things. Firstly, let's say diligent participation in Sunday messages, whether here in the building or online. And if you miss it on Sunday morning, you know it's available on Facebook or on our website. Later in the week, you can pick it up so that as we work through this Gospel of John and all the doctrine that's there about who God is, about who Jesus is, about how he lived his life and what he's called us to do, be diligent to participate in that. There's so much to learn from the Gospel of John. Would you commit to being a participant each week, in each message? Maybe it's not every Sunday morning. Maybe you have to work on Sunday morning. The video is still available Monday afternoon or whenever. If you're unable to attend, can you be part of it? This idea of us doing this in unity doesn't work if we're not here, if we're not connected, if we're not hearing the same things, if we're not considering the same call and the same challenge. Second item of, and these are practical steps, but the general idea of Bible study. Now, all of these could be called, disciplines. I'm disciplining, I'm controlling myself. I'm putting myself in a certain position or place so that I can be where God wants me to be. There's many more that we're not going to talk about this morning. These are ones, in particular, some that are, I'll say, time-dependent. I want to start at the beginning of the year. It's just a good time to get on the calendar, so to speak. So this issue of Bible study. Some of you attend our Sunday morning service, but you don't hang around for DNA. Everybody's got their own schedule, I get that, but I would encourage you to stay for DNA, to be part of the discussion. What did I just hear? How did it challenge me? How did it challenge you? Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't get that. And it's an opportunity to build ourselves together. Thursday evening Zoom Bible study, I just mentioned, it doesn't start this Thursday, but the next. It's an opportunity to be online. It's an hour. You're doing it from your home because it's on Zoom, so it's truly just an hour. Hour and 10 minutes maybe, to be part of a conversation about this Old Testament hero, David, and what he learned following God, how God cared for him. how God disciplined him at times to advance his kingdom and to make these promises and then carry them out. We've talked before about the Right Now Media. There are resources available to you. It's an online library of Bible studies and so forth. And true confessions, I haven't used it like I should. There's just so much there. It's overwhelming, but it's there. If you don't have access to it or don't know you've got access to it, speak to me. You just need an email connection, and off you go if you have an internet. Just an opportunity to regularly be involved in good teaching. So, Bible study. Number three is Bible reading. They're different, you know that, right? Bible study is more in-depth. I'm looking more. Bible reading is, I want to be exposed to all of Scripture. And so, perhaps every day I read some passage, some section, whatever. Everybody's at a different place. You might want to read through the whole Bible. You might want to read just through the Gospels or whatever. But be in God's Word as a regular practice. Potentially starting every day in His Word so that we have our eyes on Him, so that we're doing these things that I've just talked about, being focused on Him first and foremost. So there are a multitude of Bible study plans. This is one of those things where I've got some resources on the table out there. I've got 5 different ones out there just for your consideration. There are 2 of them that are 7 days a week. 7 days a week is a lot to get done, but there are 2 of them out there. One of them works through the Bible chronologically. The other one that's out there is a reading from the Old Testament, a reading from the New Testament, a reading from Psalms, and a reading from Proverbs every day. So that by the end of the year, you've read the entire Bible, and you've read Psalms and Proverbs twice. That's one of the ones out there. There's a chronological for 7 days. Then there's 3 other ones that are 5 days a week. Focus on, this is my work week, this is my fixed schedule, and then the weekend, if you get behind, you can catch up, you can spend more time in prayer on the weekend or whatever, but those are out there as well. There's one for the whole Bible, there's one for the New Testament only, and there's one for the Old Testament only. There's also Jan's book, this daily look at who God is or the names of God. But do something toward making God part of my day-to-day life, okay? And so Bible reading is one of those possibilities. Number 4 is Bible memorization. Some of these Bible plans have memorization built into them. Read these passages, start working on this memorization. But if you're not currently working on memorization, I would encourage you to do so. It's again an area where sometimes we go through phases. We work on it hard for a time and then it just kind of slips away. Maybe 2022 is the time to put that back into your schedule. And I would encourage you, if you have no other thing in plan, work on 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That our heart would be turned that way every morning. We'd remind ourselves every morning, His divine power, it's not my strength, not anything I'm doing. His divine power has given me everything I need for life and godliness. Lastly on the list, I've got ministry, just the idea of engaging. Pastor Eric mentioned Sheridan Parkside. There's certainly ministry here. There's ministry in your neighborhood. There's ministry to your neighbors. All of that's ministry. Prayer, getting alone, silence, solitude, all of those, these are all things we refer to as spiritual disciplines. And over the next year, we'll probably be trying to introduce more of them. But this idea of starting 2022 with a focus on God and on His Word is critical. So as you see, the message today is not so much as a teaching, but as a challenge. What does 2022 look like for you? What did you learn from 2021 and can now apply in a fresh way, a new start? It's an encouragement, an exhortation to live out our faith with greater diligence and diligence and intention to join God in the work, His work, to make us stronger, more fruitful, more joyful disciples, and to share our love with God, our love for God and others with whomever God puts in our path. We're to be examples, we're to be models, we're to be ambassadors, that others might know Him as well. So to be sure, this is a challenge for every one of us, for Pastor Eric and myself as well. What is God calling me to do? What is God calling me to be? What means will He use to prepare me for that assignment? And am I willing? Is He worthy? Yeah, He is. Is the world broken? Yeah, it is. Am I desiring to serve God? Yeah, I am. Can you say the same? So don't miss this. This is not a checklist of practical actions that I ought to do this. These are means, among others, that God has used throughout the life of the church to prepare his people to be his ambassadors and to represent his love to a lost and dying world. So I invite you to use the next few minutes. We're going to have another song. I invite you to use those next few minutes and the rest of your life to consider, to approach God and ask him with an open heart, ask that he make clear to you what it is he'd have you do. He wants you to follow him, and so it's not like he's trying to hide it. It's not like he's saying, let's see if they can figure this one out. God is saying, come to me, and I will reveal to you how you should live to bring glory to me. Ask him what the very next steps are. Maybe he's not shown you the long-term view. Maybe you don't know that 10 years from now you're going to be in ministry in Nairobi. I don't know, but what you're supposed to do next week? He could show you that right now. Let's all walk with him with great faith in his presence, the fact that he is walking with us. In fact, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. After this next song, we'll come back for a time of prayer as we approach the throne on behalf of one another, and then we'll share the Lord's Supper together. So prepare your hearts for that as well.